Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Bernie Moreno joins the program and also Julie Kelly as we recap January 6th, the indictments and where they are headed next. I want to encourage you guys to become a member at charliekirk.com. You can listen to all of our shows advertiser free. And also when you become a member, you guys get all of this exclusive content, columns and more. So check it out right now, charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab. That is charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. And it's affordable for all income levels. I encourage you guys to check it out right now, charliekirk.com. Right now, check it out and become a member. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. I had several people at America Fest and in the weeks following, parents that came up to me and they would start whispering. They'd say, Charlie, my son or my daughter or my very close friend that I grew up with is taking testosterone, is taking estrogen. What do I do? And this is so widespread. Whatever numbers they're feeding to us, they are downplaying how many kids are chemically castrating themselves. And not just kids, but people that still might be in where they couldn't order a beer. This is also happening. It's not talked about enough. 19 and 20-year-olds, technically adults, but they can't even order a beer at a local bar, and they can take life-altering hormone or testosterone replacement therapy. And anecdotally, just to be clear, you don't hear about this so much in one setting without it being very, very widespread. And I'm right about these things when I could start to pick patterns. When the fifth or sixth parent comes up to you and says the exact same thing, you know you have a major problem. Well, in Ohio, this is a very confusing story because Governor DeWine vetoed a bill and then he signed an executive order. He's all over the place. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what this ends up at. But to help us walk through this and also give an update on his very important Senate race is Bernie Moreno, BernieMoreno.com. We have endorsed Bernie Moreno for the Ohio Senate race, and he is doing a great, great job. Bernie, welcome to the program. What is going on here with the gender replacement or the gender affirming care, Governor DeWine? Give us the update.
So there was a bill that passed pretty overwhelmingly in the state house that said two basically simple things, Charlie, which honestly, I don't understand how there's not uniform consensus around. Number one, biological men should not play in women's sports. Not complicated, easy one. The second one is, we cannot provide gender affirming, gender mutilation surgeries on children or give them experimental hormones, puberty blockers, et cetera. The governor vetoed that, extraordinarily disappointing. He then put out an executive order that prohibits the surgeries, but still allows the hormone treatments, still allows men to play in women's sports. I'm hopeful that this week, the legislature will override that veto and we can put an end to the madness here in Ohio and protect children and protect women's sports.
Yeah, amen. This is why you're running for the Senate and why I'm behind you, Bernie. And so just really quick, everybody, if you live in Ohio, please contact your state senator or state rep, right, Bernie? I think this would really matter. We need to get the citizens of Ohio. And by the way, I love Ohio. It's one of my favorite states. The values of Ohio are like really mainstream, Midwestern, common sense values. They're not radical whatsoever. Bernie, it would be smart if the grassroots of Ohio contacted their state reps, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty confident it's going to happen, but obviously they need to hear it, because I think what this executive order does is it confuses people and think, oh, well, the governor changed his mind. Again, still allows biological men to play in women's sports and still allows these hormones, these puberty blockers. We don't even know what that will do to people, to kids long term. That's insanity. What two consenting adults or one consenting adult wants to do, that's up to them. But, you know, Charlie, let me ask you a question. If you and I met over a decade ago, imagine if when you and I first met, if I said to you, girls and boys should be chemically or physically castrated, what would you have said to me 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I would have said, what kind of medieval witch doctor is trying to go after children? And now this is considered to be healthcare. How did we get here?
It's a result of the corporate media weakness among Republicans. Because again, 10 years ago, you would have looked at me and said, you know, my God, why are you even bringing that up? It's insane. But here we are seemingly losing the argument because Republicans have not been unequivocally strong on this. They haven't fought back. They're afraid of the media calling them homophobes or transphobes. It has nothing to do with any of that. We've had broad consensus in this country for as long as I've been alive that we protect children.
Let's play cut 23 as a segue here. Let's play cut 23.
Everybody, my name is Chris Peltier. I'm a general pediatrician at Pediatric Associates of Mount Carmel, and it is my pleasure to welcome you and serve as your moderator this morning for our Cincinnati Children's Coffee with Colleagues on the care of transgender children. And we're going to review the community support tool, going to talk about behavioral care, creating a safe environment for your LGBTQ patients, and then also touching on some spiritual resources for your transgender patients. We're going to have the second part of this conversation where our panel is going to come back and really give you strategies on how to have some of those difficult conversations with parents and families, and really how to help families that may be struggling with their child's journey on this course.
So Bernie, you had a great tweet about this. This is why you running for the Senate is so important. It's disgusting that mutilating children has become a profit center. There are people that will get rich and get richer the more kids that chop off their parts. And I want to dive into this, is we need to talk about the parental red flags that caregivers have to look for. Just listen to this, play cut 24.
For us, once a child says, I'm transgender, the work begins for you of trying to help the family understand and get them into our care so that we can help. We do know that gender dysphoria is real and it can have negative health outcomes. So the first thing I want to go through on the gender support tool or the community support tool is history and physical exam red flags, things that we absolutely have to look for. So when we're doing the history, things that we look for include the caregiver being dismissive. You know, oh, my kid says they're a girl and, you know, and we just don't think that's real. And, you know, we're trying to shut that down. If the caregiver's threatening the patient, I've had caregivers threaten the patient in the middle of clinic.
So what was where they talk about the red flags that caregivers need to look for with parents. So in closing here, Bernie, just give us a final thought on the profit centers for medical mutilation, and then give us an update from the campaign trail. I know things are going really, really well in Ohio.
No, absolutely. Thank you, Charlie, for having me. The reality is it's become big business for hospitals. It shouldn't be. Again, we need to protect children, make sure that we keep children safe. The campaign's going really well. We got President Trump's endorsement, your endorsement, J.D. Vance, Jim Jordan. Four out of four counties have endorsed. We're leading in fundraising. So we think this race is in really good shape, but it's going to take a lot to beat Sherrod Brown. So if your viewers can help, go on BernieMarino.com. Any contribution or sign up for volunteers for your people in Ohio would be amazing.
Look, Donald Trump is going to win Ohio by 8 to 12 points, and he's going to have some amazing tales on that victory. And I think we have an opportunity to take out Sherrod Brown. There are some MAGA Brown voters out there, but are there 8 points, 10 points? I don't think so, Bernie. I think you could do really, really well. You share the president's vision. You're going to win this primary. I'm going to try my best to come out to the Buckeye State this spring if I can. The schedule is really, really crazy. But I think we have an opportunity to take out Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown is like John Tester, where they talk a good game on an election cycle. They have a lot of Democrats who think that, oh, I like this guy, and they vote like AOC, and they vote like Chuck Schumer. So, Bernie, we're behind you 100%. Keep up the great work. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. This could be a real big one, everybody. This is one where Donald Trump's going to run up the score in Ohio. He's going to run up the score in Ohio. And we might be able to sneak out a Senate race there. Huge. Sneak out a Senate race. So keep your eye on Ohio. Keep your eye on Montana. By the way, West Virginia is basically done. That's a pickup. So we're starting from 50-50. One of the advantages we have is we have an opportunity to take back the Senate. We really do. Dark clouds are gathering as markets shudder. Stocks are sinking and currency stumbling. Fear and uncertainty reign. The Middle East, Ukraine, Taiwan, the debt, it is endless. Yet one asset historically stands firm. It is gold. In crisis after crisis, gold is there in the background. Its enduring value guards against loss, like a missile shield against incoming. If paper wealth burns, gold has shown the strength to persist. Noble Gold says to shield your savings against looming threats, war, recession, contagion, and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. Noble Gold says take control in the chaos. Brave warriors say that fortune favors decisive action. Noble warns to get a hold of gold now before the price could be out of reach. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with each every new IRA. Claim your free coin today as this new storm gathers, panic looms, and some of the places you were thinking of for your money, well, they don't look so clever anymore. We balance our asset mix to shield a future from disaster. Research opening a Noble Gold Investments IRA to claim your free bullion coin today. That's noblegoldinvestments.com now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I could personally speak of for their service. Colin does an amazing job at noblegoldinvestments.com. The entire racket of this trans care thing is centered on a couple things. Number one is this idea that you can transition. I think we have to stop using that language. You can't transition. You can't. You can mutilate yourself. You could take drugs. You could pretend to be something that you're not. Transitioning is impossible. You can make yourself look closer to something, but it does not change your basic biological makeup. It does not change your chromosomes. It does not change your DNA. It does not change how your brain is wired. One of the arguments that the trans zealots will make is, but I look like the thing and I tricked you into thinking I'm something I'm not. That means nothing. You can go to a costume shop, and at the end of the day, it's still a costume. You can go to a professional Hollywood makeup artist and you could look like something that you aren't. And we use this example. We'll say it again. If I go to a professional Hollywood, Pirates of the Caribbean, Star Wars, 10 out of 10, they spend all this money and they make me look black. Does that make me black? Of course not. Just because you look like the thing doesn't mean you become the thing. And that's the first thing that we need to zero in on, is that it's butchery under the guise of compassion. These drugs are not to be toyed with. You are dealing with hormone levels, injecting testosterone, injecting estrogen, in the false promise that it's going to solve a mental problem. Now, more and more data is finally coming out on this, that they target kids with autism. Kids with autism are far higher at risk of being targeted by the pharmaceutical trans-industrial complex. Why that is? There's plenty of reasons to believe. I mean, autistic kids might be more socially isolated. They look at things in terms of black and white, very little nuance, very little gray area. They're linking autism now with gender dysphoria. In fact, they don't even call it gender dysphoria anymore. So we must be clear. And I asked Chloe Cole this when she came on the show. She's amazing. I said, is being trans even a thing? And she said, no. Now, I know that sounds like a radical thing to say, but not really. Do we acknowledge that you become the thing you think you are, even though reality dictates otherwise? No. You have a mental problem. Let's try and solve that. We don't solve it through testosterone replacement therapy. The new term is gender incongruence. This was basically unheard of 30 years ago. We're supposed to pretend it's normal. It's not. And yes, there is a role. It's not the only role for lawmakers to come in and say this is illegal. Now, one of the weak spots in our movement here, and we have to be honest about it, is parents who co-sponsor the butchery of their kids. Because we're big into parents' rights, and we should be big into parents' rights. So how should we think about a parent who says, I want my 15-year-old to take testosterone, and it's a girl, which, by the way, will stop puberty, might delay it, will definitely delay it, could stop it, and could prevent them from potentially having kids in the future. We do not even know all of the ramifications. And the issue is this, is that Big Pharma and the psychological industrial complex, all of them together, they emotionally blackmail these parents. And they say this time, it's almost in their modus operandi. It's in their instruction manual. And they'll look into a parent's eyes and they'd say, if you have a daughter, well, it's better for you to have an alive son than a dead daughter. And they say it over and over again. And the parent's stomach shrinks. They say, well, okay, just bring in the testosterone. Bring in the hormone replacement. And factually, it's not true. Factually, your kid has an underlying health issue, a mental health issue, a brain issue that should be addressed and not addressed through a pharmacological physical intervention. I'm going to make a prediction right now, and this is based completely on anecdotal evidence, and I'll either be proven right or proven wrong, but I believe, of course, I'm right. We are vastly undercounting the amount of kids and early adults, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, that are playing games with their hormones. We are vastly undercounting it. We're told that this is some sort of fringe thing. I think it is in the hundreds of thousands, if not the millions. And we will find out if I'm right or wrong eventually. They can only cover this up so much. They want to try to keep this, oh, you know, it's on the fringe. It's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. And it is irreversible damage that is being done. And if you go and you start doing this hormone replacement therapy for 18 months, for 24 months, oof, you may never be able to retreat back to how God made you. Look, I recently read an article that said 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks. It got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. I haven't gained 1 pound of my 30-pound weight loss back. According to this article, most people blame their failure on lack of time, motivation, and loss of zeal. As I was reading, I can clearly see why I was successful on the program. It's because they make it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They're masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time. And you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you're excited about moving forward. Don't make getting healthy another New Year's resolution fail this year. Called PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. Make 2024 your year. Call 864-644-1900 to get started or online at myphdweightloss.com. I can speak from personal experience. These are excellent people. And go to myphdweightloss.com, founded by Dr. Ashley Lucas. Don't do this alone. That's number 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. Call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition and make 2024 your year. That's 864-644-1900 at myphdweightloss.com. That is myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. 864-644-1900. Julie Kelly joins us. I want to play cut six as a setup here. Let's play cut six.
An important note when it comes to our prosecutions about those who remained outside the building. We have used our prosecutorial discretion to primarily focus on those who entered the building or those who engaged in violent or corrupt conduct on Capitol grounds. But if a person knowingly entered the restricted area without authorization, they had already committed a federal crime. Make no mistake, thousands of people occupied an area that they were not authorized to be present in the first place.
Okay, Julie Kelly joins us. Julie, welcome to the program. So let me translate what I hear here. I hear that we're going into an election year, 2024, and that the people who entered the quote-unquote restricted area, by the way, is a massive, almost 1 mile, square mile all the way there. These are your super activists that are going to be very involved in the election of 2024, knocking on doors and volunteers. And Matthew Graves, this is him metaphorically knocking on the door of 3,000 super activists heading into the 2024 election. Did I hear that correctly?
I believe that you did. I mean, what a thug. So let's keep in mind who Matthew Graves is. He was a Biden campaign advisor appointed to U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia by Joe Biden, took over the office in November of 2021. His first act as prosecutor was to indict Steve Bannon on contempt of Congress charges. He accelerated this January 6th prosecution, bringing seditious conspiracy charges against members of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers. He told the Washington Post in 2022, the total caseload for J6 would exceed 2,000 defendants. So here's this thug, Matthew Graves. By the way, I love when my prosecutors are up talkers, don't you? It's like, oh my God, and then we're going to charge like 2,000 more people. So what he's talking about, of course, as you just said, are people who are outside on this huge, massive campus of the U.S. Capitol, and he's going to be rounding them up as just like he's doing right now. So he gave an hour-long presentation, Charlie, something unprecedented, an hour-long presentation going through all of the facets of the January 6th, you know, the events of that day, the prosecutions. He brought up, you know, Stuart Rhodes. He brought up the Proud Boys. Looked like another performance of the J6 committee. So what he was doing is bolstering Joe Biden's campaign launch last week. This was the same day he posted that campaign ad about January 6th. He was bolstering Joe Biden's central campaign plank, which is about January 6th and the alleged threat that Donald Trump and MAGA supporters pose to the country.
So I just hope everyone, we're trying to get some of these images here up on screen. And so how many people, by the way, I want to make sure everyone's clear. These are some people that were hundreds of yards away from entering the Capitol, simply watching what was happening, watching. They didn't do anything. They were watching, some filming, some were spectating. So, Julie, what he's saying is that anyone that might have been within 100, 200, 500, 600 yards, we might arrest all of you this election year. Is that right? People that didn't commit violence, people that didn't enter the Capitol, people that were technically on restricted grounds. All of DC is a restricted ground. The whole thing is, and they're going to be charged with federal crimes?
Well, they might be. And I have an article up on my Substack, Declassified with Julie Kelly, today. The basis, the justification, Charlie, according to DOJ, that entire area was off limits is because Mike Pence, the vice president at the time, is a Secret Service protectee. And therefore, that automatically rendered that entire area off limits. Well, I never knew that that was a law. And they certainly, just like they're doing with so many other statutes, are weaponizing it in a way that it was never intended to be. So what DOJ has been saying now for almost 3 years, keep in mind, almost every January 6th defendant has been charged with what, 1752, which is this knowingly entering or remaining on restricted grounds. Well, people didn't know that this was off limits because Mike Pence, who, by the way, was evacuated out of the building at 2:20 that afternoon. His whereabouts, we don't have a precise location, Charlie. We're told he was at a loading dock by some garage that was still technically Capitol property. So that's how they're hanging on to these now 1,100 people who have been charged with the 1752. This is the statute that Matthew Graves is warning about. The problem is that it's at great risk at the DC appellate court. I covered that last month in the case of Boyd Griffin. And you already have judges, including Chris Cooper, an Obama appointee, who the day after Matthew Graves made this threat, dropped this restricted grounds count, two of them, against a January 6th defendant. So what Matthew Graves is going to have to prove as he's rounding up thousands more people who stood on grass that they pay for on a Wednesday afternoon outside of a public government building that they also pay for, filled with people who work there, who they also pay for. He's going to have to prove that those people knowingly stood there, knowing that Mike Pence was at a loading dock somewhere and that they understood that he is a Secret Service protectee, made that entire huge area restricted grounds and a crime to be there.
So shifting gears here for a second, the 3-year anniversary was over the weekend, and their telling of events now has direct electoral implications. What is the status of Donald Trump's indictment in regards to Jack Smith? It seems like we're going to get a delay, if not a delay has already been granted. But them calling an insurrection was not just a cable news rating trick. It was to build the base to contaminate the D.C. jury. So anything that lands in D.C. will almost assuredly result in a conviction.
Right. So going back to Matthew Graves, he put that performance on exactly 60 days before the scheduled March 4th trial date in Washington, D.C. against Donald Trump for the events of January 6th. It is straight up jury tampering. It was broadcast on C-SPAN. I'm not sure how much local coverage it got in Washington. I assume it got some. So here he is tampering with, again, a D.C. jury pool made up of almost 100% Democrats. So that in and of itself is a problem. Charlie, to your point about the trial, all of the pretrial deadlines are automatically put on hold pending a ruling about this presidential immunity case that Donald Trump is pursuing. Tomorrow in D.C. Circuit Court, the appellate court, a three-judge panel, two Democrats, one Republican, will hear oral arguments as to whether or not Donald Trump is protected from criminal prosecution based on immunity. Of course, this is the first time courts, and certainly if it makes its way to the Supreme Court, will ever have a chance to determine if a president is subjected to criminal prosecution, something that's never been considered before. So all the pretrial deadlines, jury selection, in limine, you know, what the exhibit list, government witnesses, defense witnesses, all the back and forth that happens before a trial, that's all on hold, which Charlie means this March 4th trial date is not going to happen. It's impossible to catch up at this point. That hasn't stopped Special Counsel Jack Smith from filing motions, to which Donald Trump's attorneys responded last week, asking Judge Chutkan to hold Jack Smith in contempt for violating her order, which was automatic, actually, her order suspending all the pretrial deadlines that she had set leading up to the March 4th trial date. They're going to do whatever they can to push this trial date pending some resolution at the Supreme Court, very likely on the immunity matter.
So do you think this D.C. appellate court is likely to consider the presidential immunity? And what does the Constitution say, if anything, about this?
Well, the Constitution doesn't say really anything about immunity. And what Donald Trump's lawyers have argued is that the prosecution of a president is handled through impeachment. And what they are arguing is that he was impeached, but he was not convicted on really the same set of facts and same sort set of accusations that Jack Smith has in his January 6th. There's four counts there, criminal indictment. So this is another history making, you know, process and decisions that the country will have to live with the consequences of it. Just think, Charlie, and this is another thing Trump's lawyers have argued. If the appellate court, and I fully expect them to uphold Judge Chutkan's order that denied presidential immunity, if the appellate court agrees with Judge Chutkan and ultimately the Supreme Court agrees, we are now entering more uncharted territory where the incoming administration of its predecessor then can think up whatever criminal charges they want to think up. And the four in Jack Smith's indictment are ridiculous. Two obstruction of an official proceeding counts, deprivation of rights, conspiracy to defraud the United States. It's not, you know, murder, theft, something significant or solid. These are super vague charges. In fact, two of them are before the Supreme Court right now. So this will be more uncharted territory. And then the consequences of this will just keep this will be a repeated cycle now in the future of America that we've seen in banana republics and other countries where the new president prosecutes former president of the opposite party, tries to get him in prison. That's what we're going to end up with if the Supreme Court does not reject Judge Chutkan's denial of presidential immunity in this case.
All right, I want to tell you about Herzog. Herzog Foundation is amazing. I want you guys to check it out right now. We've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues teaching things that directly contradict the values of millions of American families. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source of American K-12 private education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents. From their online publication, The Lion, to the new podcast, Making the Leap, Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents. To learn more about how your family and faith and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. HerzogFoundation.com. H-E-R-Z-O-G. HerzogFoundation.com. Plug your Substack, Julie, please.
Thank you, Charlie. Declassified with Julie Kelly on Substack. And also, I have a piece up on Real Clear Investigations. I'm writing for them, some J6 pieces, and then my latest on the Whitmer FedNamping hoax.
Well, very good. So just question, 3 years, do we know anything about the pipe bombs? Who planted the pipe bombs?
Who? We forgot about the pipe bomber, didn't we? You know, on every anniversary, the FBI pretends they care or that the pipe bomb was legitimate. And so what they did the other day was now they've amped it up to a $500,000 reward for any information to get the pipe bomber. And then, of course, they show a photograph of the sneakers. That's the only thing that they have, these gym shoes. But it's amazing, Charlie, of all the charging documents that I read, all the affidavits, the amount of resources that the FBI uses, not just government resources, but big tech and major corporations, Bank of America, you name it. They happily fork over any information, any data, any customer information. We know that they used a geofence warrant to collect all of the cell phones information of everyone who is in the vicinity of Washington on the 5th and 6th, but they still can't find the pipe bomber. And it's important to remember what the pipe bomb scare did. It initiated the first lockdowns of house office buildings. It allowed police to go to a separate channel. And this really started the alleged panic. Kamala Harris was at the DNC. We still have no explanation as to why Kamala Harris left the Capitol about 11 o'clock that morning. She's a sitting U.S. Senator and the incoming VP. She left to go to DNC headquarters with Secret Service at the time. And that security detail somehow missed this alleged explosive device that was outside of this relatively small building. How did that happen? Another unanswered question related to not just January 6th, but the pipe bomb. Charlie, I want to go back to Matthew Graves because you played that clip and then you played Joe Biden. Keep in mind that Matthew Graves' wife, Fatima Goss Graves, runs a $100 million nonprofit in Washington, a far left radical nonprofit that supports abortion on demand. She's part of the crusade to get rid of Clarence Thomas. She's a trans activist. She was just at a hearing last month where she confronted Riley Gaines about men dressing as women and competing in women's sports. She has visited the Biden White House nearly 36 times since her husband became DC U.S. attorney. She very well could be the conduit between whatever they want out of the White House and what they get out of this DC U.S. attorney's office. 36 times she has been there, including meeting at events with Joe Biden, meeting directly with Kamala Harris, at events with cabinet members and Democratic lawmakers. This is something she brags about on social media. So all of this reeks so much, the collaboration here. And again, Charlie, why aren't Republicans doing something about this? Why are we still funding the DC U.S. Attorney's Office? Why are we funding the Washington FBI field office? Why are we still funding Jack Smith, who released his report last week, almost $8 million he has spent in the past less than a year. So Republicans are helping to fund the very same authoritarians that are coming after their own voters.
The bad guys have created and exploited a serious loophole, and it's going to be almost impossible to close, which is the radicalism and the favors of the spouse. Look at Jack Smith. Jack Smith's spouse, his wife, is a Michelle Obama documentary filmmaker, right? This happens a lot, and you can start to see the dots connected through it. Julie, thank you for your work. I sure hope the Supreme Court steps in and issues some sanity in the midst of all this. Julie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.